The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again. This is God Calling, and I'm Paul Orlowski. Father John Schneider is joining us today. Father has been a priest since 2011 and is now the current pastor of St. Peter and Paul's and St. Teresa in Garfield Heights. A busy man, for sure. Father, welcome to God Calling.
Great to be here.
Father, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in West Park in Cleveland.
All right.
And the first parish my family was at with me was St. Rose's,
where
I was baptized at. Yep. Okay. In Cleveland, not in Lakewood, as most people believe. But my first memories are not of St. Rose's, but of St. Vincent de Paul. Because at the age of five, we moved from West 17th Street to Berea Road, a whopping six houses down from St. Vincent de Paul.
Okay.
And that's where I learned to serve Mass and learned the faith from the teachers there and from my parents going to Mass there.
Was Mass a part of every weekend or every day? Or?
Well, for a while, almost every day. My parents always went to weekend Mass. But my dad, for 5 or 6 years, was almost a daily communicant going to Mass in the evenings at St. Vincent de Paul. And that's where my vocation kind of began.
That example, how important is that example to see in the parent?
Well, critical, in my opinion. But what was unique here is that my dad actually taught me to serve Mass.
Oh.
I was 9 years old, middle of the summer, so I think July. The servers didn't show up for the Mass.
Okay.
So Monday night, we saw the priest bring out the cruids, getting things ready, lighting the candle. And my dad just turns to me and goes, "Get up, John." So we went up to the sacristy, and my dad very politely asked the priest, "Do you need help, Father?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, Jim, we do need help." So I served along with my dad, and he knew what to do because he had served Mass for many years back at St. Rose's and before that, St. Philip and James. And I thought, well, this is a great thing. I learned to say Mass early.
Yeah.
The next day, went to Mass again, no servers. And my dad just sticks his thumb and points at the sacristy, and I start going there. And notice, he's not following. He's going back to the pew, and I'm like, what's going on? Oh, you can do it yourself now.
Wow. So trial by fire.
By the end of the week, I knew which way was up. The hardest thing was grabbing hold of the bells to ring at the epiclesis and the words of institution. Because I just wasn't that tall.
You had to bend way over, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I have strange habits. And one of them is when they ring the bells, I like the note to finish before they put it down on the carpet, because it's like, it's over, you know? I shouldn't be that picky, but.
No, but you should let the bell finish doing its job without slamming it down, or it helps.
The name of our show, of course, is God Calling. This may be Dad Calling. Got you up there on the altar.
He did. But at the time, I got very good at serving Mass. And since we were so close, I and my brothers, Jim and Joe, were often called to serve weddings and funerals.
There were a couple of bucks in that.
Oh, yeah. Five whole dollars.
That's right.
Back in the day when that was worth something.
For sure.
At the time, I heard from all the daily Mass goers, especially the little old lady contingent, that you're going to be a priest. And I went, what are you smoking? What? No, not me. I had zero interest in grade school, but the faith was definitely part of my life, and part of my family's life, because my mom had volunteered as well in the pro-life movement. And in the summers, if we weren't serving Mass, we might be helping with the parish carnival or other activities there.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to high school?
St. Ignatius.
Okay.
That played a part in my discernment.
I would think.
Well, maybe not in the way you think, though, because it wasn't the example of the priests. It was the Ignatian emphasis on discernment. And praise be to God that that was part of the standard curriculum, that they mentioned things like consolation and desolation in the theology classes. I was a sophomore, and at this point, my family had made their way back to St. Rose's. And the pastor there at the time was Father Jim Vile. And if you knew Father Jim Vile in the last 10 or 20 years of his life, you knew that he was perpetually getting close to death. In and out of the hospital many times. And it was February of 2000 when he went back into the hospital. My family had only recently rejoined the parish. And so this was new to me. It was new to me seeing a priest get sick this much. Mm-hmm. And this did not sit well with me. So I have a distinct memory about 6 or 7 p.m. after dinner one Friday night. I went and tried bargaining with God.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, you can see how it worked out for me. No, I offered God, you know, Hail Marys, decades of the Rosary, tried to negotiate Father Jim's release from the hospital. And I was looking for a sign, a consolation, a movement of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing was granted to me. So after over half an hour of these negotiations, I was offering a rosary or multiple rosaries a day at this point. I went to God and said to him, okay, what do you want from me? And then I knew, major premise, God wanted me to be a priest. Minor premise, God gets what he wants. Conclusion, I'm going to be a priest, whether I like this or not.
Okay, how old were you? Where were you at Ignatius at that time?
I was a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go next?
From Ignatius, I ended up going to Notre Dame. And partly that's because we had a really good financial aid package to go to Notre Dame. That package basically making it free for me to attend.
Well, I did have a plan.
Yep.
All right. Well, Father, let's pause right there for a commercial break, and we'll be back after these messages on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father John Schneider is our guest on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. And Father, you talked about matriculating, going to Notre Dame. How important was that in your formation, your continuation of your formation and calling?
Well, really important, because that's where I learned the bedrock of my theology and my way of apprehending philosophy. Notre Dame was recommended to me by a number of priests. It's a great place to learn Thomistic philosophy, St. Thomas Aquinas, mm-hmm. and as a great Catholic university. And as I mentioned, I was offered basically a free ride there. So why wouldn't you go there?
Of course.
This was actually the most active phase of my discernment, because everyone who met me, who was in the church, told me the same thing. John, you're really smart. You need to be a religious priest. Okay. God gave you a tremendous intellect. This is where you need to go down that path. And I had a couple of missteps. The first misstep was actually with the work of God and the Prelate of the Holy Cross, better known as Opus Dei. I went to them for spiritual direction for a year and a little bit more. That relationship did not work out. I left disillusioned with them, not with the church, but mm-hmm. as many people do. And they have a lot of good things going for them, but there are some odd aspects of how they do things.
Okay.
And so then I was under direction of a Holy Cross priest and looked into that order. And eventually a Dominican came to campus, and I was under him for spiritual direction for about a year and a half. And every time I would look into a religious order, I went away sad. at one point I went to Washington, D.C. to the Dominican House of Studies there, and they had a beautiful weekend for people who were looking into their order. Wonderful prayer, great deal of piety. Everyone there was charitable, and I felt incredibly alone and isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the bedrock of my spirituality from Ignatius, I knew that God was giving the thumbs down here, and I was a little frustrated, but I got the message clearly enough that God was not interested in me going down that path, which I couldn't figure out. So when I graduated from Notre Dame, I had dinner with my uncle, Father Sean Donnelly, who's presently the pastor of Immaculate Conception in Madison, Ohio,
okay,
priest of our diocese. And he said that his friend had just become the vocations director for our diocese, Father Michael Gernick.
Sure.
Why don't I talk to him? At this point, I had nothing to lose. So I talked to Father Gernick, and I walked out of that meeting with an application for St. Mary's Seminary. This was June. In August, I started in First Theology.
Back to basics.
Well, no. I skipped pre-theology.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, and this is highly irregular. You can't get into a seminary in under 3 months. It typically takes a year or more for entry. You don't get to skip what's called pre-theology, the 2 years of philosophy. They just didn't. They looked at my transcript and said, you have enough philosophy from Notre Dame. You're not going to learn anything from our program. Go for it.
Okay.
I can't tell you, but this was the greatest sign that God wanted me here, because every door opened that should have stayed closed, everything moved smoothly that could have had difficulties. And once I was in the seminary, it worked. It worked very well. Now, that's not to say the seminary was a perfect place.
It's tough.
Well, the building wasn't in great condition.
They did fix that.
They did fix that, and I believe it was Bishop Pillar before, around 2000 actually, that had first come up with some plans to renovate the seminary. But at that point, I had many summers working maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I had many experiences already with the church. And I could see that God was directing me to this diocese, was directing me to not do super advanced studies, but just to be a parish priest. And the sooner I understood that and the more I accepted it, the happier I became.
Now, you came highly recommended because Dick Russ, you just missed him. But I know you're very good friends with his son, who's a priest, and who went Jesuit.
Yep.
Did you guys talk about that as you, journeyed together?
Well, definitely a lot in college. 4 years in high school, not so much, because that really wasn't on Andy's radar. I should say Father Lapsi's.
That's right.
But at Notre Dame, we had a lot of deep theological conversations at dinner and South Dining Hall. I have tremendously fond memories of that, thinking about the deeper things of the faith, how God has called us from nothing, how the Lord gives us his very self through the gift of grace. And in our senior year, when the spark of a vocation began to grow in his heart, it was a great joy for me to share what I had learned and just to accompany.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You've got quite a discernment story. There's no doubt about that. Where did you go first after you were ordained?
Holy Family in Parma.
Big parish.
It was in the 1980s the largest parish in the diocese and arguably the largest parish east of the Mississippi but west of New York.
Wow.
Huge. Yeah.
The experience, obviously, you were the parochial vicar at that point. Who were you there with, and who were your mentors?
So Rich Evans was the pastor, and my first year there was with Father Joseph Brancatelli, who was actually in the seminary for 1 year with me.
Okay. He's been a guest on the program.
Mm-hmm. When Father Brancatelli left Holy Family, he went into
the military.
Yep. I actually remember Archbishop Broglio coming and visiting the rectory. because I was on a coming back from a run when I recognized him because I knew him from St. Rose's.
Sure.
And like, that's the special guest. Somebody might be leaving the diocese.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. All of them delightful stories. Father, stay right where you are. We're on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back with more after these messages. We're back on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Father John Schneider is here, the pastor of St. Peter and Paul and St. Teresa as well. Father, something I did some background on you. In your Ask Father column, is prayer ever wasted? I answered my own. That's funny. You talk about that. I mean, it's sometimes people think if they don't get an answer, that their prayer is wasted or God's not hearing them. And I think you have a different view.
Oh, definitely. And one inspired by St. Thomas Aquinas, who I think answered the question definitively in distinguishing between first and second causation. Let me unwrap that bit of philosophy, though. So God can do anything he wants at any time.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't interested in anything in anywhere. He's interested in us. He wants us cooperating with his providential care. And prayer is one of the primary ways that we cooperate with his care of the world. When we pray, God is then able to work through us as secondary causes to bring about the goods that he wants for us to enjoy and to preserve us from certain evils that he wishes for us to avoid.
Armor against the evil one.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we know and are cognizant of exactly what God is getting us to achieve. As in, my sister Katie a few months ago became very ill because she has a shunt from hydrocephalus. And so when I was praying for her recovery and everything worked out, very clearly the prayer was answered in the way that I understood and was looking at. Other times, though, and in fact this is potentially the greater share of it, we don't know the effects of merit, the effects of growing in grace that our prayer is achieving. We think we do. We have some thought about what we're praying for. But the most powerful part of our prayer is not from our minds. It is from our hearts. And in fact, when we go deeper into prayer, when we go from the purgative to the illuminative to finally the unitive stage of prayer, it is there where the heart reigns supreme. And if you've read the Spiritual Masters, you can understand why the saints realize that eventually God is praying through them more than they are praying to God.
By relying on God and not ourselves, we learn to do his will and accept his peace and joy. A quote that I read that you posted someplace, I'm not sure exactly where. I did this about a couple weeks ago, my research.
Yes.
But talk about that. He may not be answering your specific need. That's relying on yourself, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Trust.
Yes, because the world is bigger than we are. The saints come to know this, and they know it more than we can because their vision has been enlarged and cleared of sin. It would crush us to see ourselves the way God sees us. It would crush us and our expectations if we were to immediately see the world the way God sees it, because we wouldn't have a buffer. The ego would have a hard time surviving. And so God, first in little ways and then in ever gradually greater ways, draws us to himself, draws us away from ourselves and our limitations, and relying on him and his life, we begin to glimpse, and then in some cases with the saints, see exactly how things work and exactly the stakes of things. And those stakes are high. The rewards, though, are amazing. This morning, it was a privilege of mine to celebrate a funeral mass. And as allowed since Bishop Pillar, it's permissible with the pastor's consent for family members to give words of remembrance. Usually, these aren't the funnest things to listen to as a priest. Okay, you don't need to hear about grandma's bowling score. Today, though, the family gave some of the most pious words I have heard at a funeral mass. How they notes from the Bible from reading scripture with mom, the prayers that she taught, her fidelity, and how in her children, the ability to articulate the joy of believing that Jesus Christ has saved their mother. That is what we are in the business of doing.
You say nothing is more important than the salvation of souls that the church makes possible. And that's your job.
Yes. That's what God called me to do, unbeknownst to me for many years. And the work that we can achieve changes eternity insofar as those who would not without grace be with God are now with God. Again, God is the first cause. We are secondary causes. But the joy from being with God in that way is a satisfaction that this world cannot offer.
Now back to your journey as a priest and first being in Parma, and then where'd you go next? And tell me about some of your experiences along the path.
So I had the shortest stint, I think, of priests ever at St. John Vianney's in Mentor. So I went there for my second assignment for a whopping 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my uncle, whom I mentioned earlier,
yes,
he got sick, and he needed about 6 months of medical leave. Diocese sent me.
Oh, okay.
Early September of 2015, I come back from vacation, and there's a voicemail from Paul Oleksiak saying I need to give him a call. He had already talked to Father Tom Johns and wanted to know if I was open to going to Madison. And I was, to help my uncle's flock. And I was there for 6 months. And in those 6 months, I learned a whole lot about what it's like to run a parish.
Yeah.
And I learned that in a place where I had no interest in changing anything because I was not going to change how my uncle's parish was operated.
That wouldn't go over real well, I don't think.
No.
What a journey, Father. Your discernment story was just fascinating. I really appreciate your sharing it with us and with our listeners here on AM 1260. Folks, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. This is Paul Orlowski. Join us each and every week at this very same time on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.